Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to look at the scripture and the sermon of the morning before we move to communion. I just want to remind you that if you are taking communion, please, if you don't have the emblems, you can get up now or any time and go and get those. They are at the entrance doors here of the sanctuary, and you can take those back to your seat with you and hold on to them until we all partake together a little later. In Matthew 18, Jesus is doing a fair amount of teaching in this chapter of Matthew 18. And there's a portion there that he talks about if your brother sins against you or sister or someone sins against you. And at the end of that, Peter comes to Jesus and he comes up to him and he says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and that I have to forgive him?" Have you ever had somebody sin against you several times? Maybe the same offense over and over? Here's an important question. Have you and I done that to someone else? Just a thought. So Peter poses this question, and then he suggests an answer to Jesus. That's always fun, isn't it? You ask a question and then you suggest an answer. And he does it in the form of a question. And he says, "As many as seven times." Now, seven, it's, understand, this is not a mathematical problem. In their culture, certain numbers mean certain things. It's not that much different than ours, a little bit, okay? For example, when I first saw my wife, who became my wife when I first saw her, I didn't say, "Ooh, she's a seven." Seven to them means completeness, one of the numbers, completely. When I saw my wife, what number did I use? Yeah. Some of you didn't want to answer. You're like, "What if I say it wrong?" Yeah, I said, "She's a 10. Why is your head bowed down, honey? You're writing? 10. Yeah. So Peter, he says seven, because that means complete or completely. And Jesus, he says this to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." 10 times seven, right? 70. 70 times seven. Jesus takes it beyond what seven means, but seven already means completeness, but he's communicating a point. It's like God is holy, but we call him holy, 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 three times holy. I mean, you can't get holier than holy, but the emphasis is that he is holy, three times holy if it was possible, right? And so Peter thinks he has a pretty good answer. Am I supposed to forgive him basically all the time? And Jesus says, "Well, more than seven, 70 times seven." When seven is already complete, but Jesus makes this emphasis how important it is. I don't know what happened to you in 2025. Well, some of the things I do, but some of the personal things in your life I'm not aware of. What are you going to take from 2025 into 2026? And that can be a multiplicity of things that we should all evaluate. But what I want us to look at this morning is what offenses or unforgiveness have I been hauling around from year to year, or tempted to keep carrying into the next year, or something specific in 2025. You see, unforgiveness doesn't know a calendar date. It just keeps going. I want to talk to you about the validity of what your hurt is. I don't want you to think that it's not valid, your feelings. But at the same token, you've got to remember that forgiveness doesn't mean that you condone what's done to you. And sometimes we think somebody should pay. And if I just forgive them, and you feel like they're getting off scot-free, and somebody, they should pay. I'm so glad that God looked at it a little differently. Someone had to pay, and it was his son. And that through his blood and through faith in him, that forgiveness is extended, and I get off free. I don't pay the eternal consequences of that sin. Somebody paid my way. And it came through love, and it came through forgiveness into my life. Forgiveness is probably one of the most difficult things for you and I, for anybody to do, is to forgive. And yet, it is the most transforming thing to our life that can happen. Forgiveness transforms us. Forgiving transforms us. Now we know that it's a conscious effort to forgive. It's certainly not a feeling, right? Till we move far enough along in our transformation and what forgiveness has done for us and what forgiving does through us, not only to the other person, but for us. And I want you to know, despite the depth of your pain, and you might say, oh, but you don't know, Pastor. And you're right, I may not know to the depth in which you have been hurt. But I know the depth of God in Scripture and in His revelation in my life, and even in the lives of others, of which I've observed of His great faithfulness and goodness and the power of His Spirit and His life-giving Word being followed in our lives. Despite the depth of pain, I want you to know it is possible for you and I to forgive. Turn to a couple of people around you and say, it is possible for you to forgive. We may have said at some time where we were hurt so deeply, or just with life itself, that I will never forgive you. With God's help, you'll take those words back. They'll be washed away, and it won't be a declaration of your future by not forgiving. It's a conscious decision where we release our feelings of resentment, bitterness, grudges, anything like that, vengeance. It is where we let go of those feelings. Because you know as well as I do, our feelings are, they're a wonderful, powerful thing, but not every feeling can be trusted. And many feelings are generated by the flesh, not the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of God within us. So, if it's a conscious decision, it means that forgiveness is a process. We can make a decision in the moment, but then we have to live out that decision. It's the way we do most things in life. You come to a point of making a decision, whether it's a good one or a bad one. You make a decision, and then you and I have to live with that decision. until we make another decision that could alter that or change that. But when it comes to forgiveness, and you come to the table of the Lord, and you are there with Him, a decision has been made about forgiveness. And after you walk away from the table, no matter what happens, the decision was already made. We don't get to alter this and change this. We don't get to come back and discuss with the Lord again. So listen, I want to go over this again because, you know, I'm kind of feeling different about this. It's not up for discussion. The conference table, the communion table, forgiveness has been declared. It has been accepted. We have looked at it. We grasp it. It has affected our life, and we know that we are to forgive others. And so now we have to live that decision out, and it's a process. And we might stumble through it a little bit. We got to keep disciplining ourselves. And so I want to suggest to you that whether it's large grievances or small grievances, all of them matter. And forgiveness and choosing to forgive for all of those things. Now, some of the smaller things you may find easier, right? But sometimes it still badges us. That person cut me off. And two blocks later, you're still ramped up about it. Right? Yeah. Let it go, man. And I know that feeling. I've had thoughts in my past, even as a pastor. See, that doesn't make you immune. Titles don't make you immune. We're human. And I've had thoughts. I'm going to chase them down. Especially when they point with a finger. Not to be inappropriate this morning, but that just adds a whole nother layer of... Why would I do something to become like that? We've got this added layer of accountability. Carry the name of the Lord, but I also carry the name of this church. New Life pastor goes to jail. Assault charges. Beats up 75-year-old woman who cut him off at the intersection. There's something called forgiveness training. Forgiveness training. I want you to know that this process, after making a decision for forgiveness and forgiving, there's, like I said, it's a process. And I want you to consider it's forgiveness training. It is like going to the gym or fitness center and working out. When you first start out, you don't just necessarily grab 75-pound dumbbells in each hand and start curling, unless you're maybe Vince Vetterkind. You can tell him that when you see him next. Maybe he's watching today. Hey, Vince. You start with lighter weight, and you work, and it strains you a little bit, and you continue to increase the weight through time because you get stronger. You do different exercises all to get stronger. Okay? I want you to know going to the gym is not all about looking good. It's about becoming stronger, healthier, more fit. No offense to any of you, but I don't think any of you at this point are going to be on the stage going to be Mr. Universe. But most of you men are going to have to go outside your home and lift up 2x6s and move them around, or build a fence, or take a wheelbarrow full of concrete mix and move it to where you want to pour it. Now, see, all that takes strength. You don't have to look good to do it. that health and fitness of forgiveness, about becoming stronger. We train ourselves to be forgiving. And we work through the small things, and we work through the heavier things in this life. We begin to train ourselves for forgiveness. I want you to look at forgiveness in this process as a decision's made, but now I have to live this out, and it is working the muscles of forgiveness in our life, that we become stronger and better at it, that it doesn't take us years to forgive, but we can accelerate the process. But it's not just the sake of speed, it's also being thorough. And so I want you to consider this idea of forgiveness training. It improves, I tell you, when you forgive, and these are studies that have been done at universities, and they have done measurable things, they have done assessment things for study groups of people from different ages, to genders, to the types of offenses, all of this. And they have discovered some of these things. This is how beautiful God is and how He created us. I want you to know that when we forgive, our minds, the psychological part of us, it improves. They have found that it does not improve well for those who don't forgive. The medical field's done the research. For people who forgive, their physical being does better. Compared to those who hang on to unforgiveness, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have been knit together, body, soul, and spirit, and you know, into one person, that it is difficult to separate each of those things and make them compartmental, that only one thing is affected. But when one of those is affected, it affects the whole person. It's just like the teaching on the body of Christ. When one hurts, we all ache. Unforgiveness, it'll affect you in your body, in your mind. And when we forgive, it aids us in protection for all the future offenses that may come down the road, because we have been training ourselves. We have been learning to forgive and receive forgiveness, and to extend forgiveness and make the decision for forgiveness and work through the muscles of the day-to-day and the things that we entertain in our mind about forgiveness and unforgiveness, and working through it, even to the point the way that we treat people. When we forgive, it builds an emotional resilience. And if you and I, being human, we need emotional resilience. Because there's something almost around every corner that tries to drain us from that very thing, from healthy emotions. They have found, and these are measurable, they've done these studies, they have found that those who forgive develop a greater confidence in who they are and in life. They have found that those who forgive become more optimistic in life, because they're not so busy looking at the past. And they understand that unforgiveness has everything to do with the past. And we bring it forward into the present day. And when we don't resolve it and deal with it, we drag it into all of our tomorrows, 2026. It's possible that some of you have been dragging this around since you were a kid. From year to year, it's never been resolved. Time's just gone by. And you say, oh, I've resolved it. Well, because maybe it doesn't emotionally affect you like it did when it was fresh. But the wound, though it has scarred over, it doesn't mean that it was ever fixed. Doesn't ever mean that it was reset. And so now we walk around with maybe some social difficulties, relational difficulties, some physical ailments. Even though time has passed and we never forgave, we have side effects from unforgiveness. And we just say, well, I'm getting old, or, well, this is just the way it is, or, oh, I've got this, and this is what this, and we explain it away, and the root of it can be found in unforgiveness. I'm not suggesting that everything you face physically is from unforgiveness. I'm just saying for some who've never stepped into the gymnasium or the fitness center of forgiveness and training themselves, it will show up in ailments in our soul and in our body. They've discovered that those who forgive carry less stress, and it reduces the effects of potential depression in their life. Forgiving others will also allow you to have greater potential of connecting with people. Unforgiveness, it causes us to withdraw. It causes us to build our little camp. And you can go to people and you can have relationship with people, but I want you to know, if unforgiveness lingers, your friendship group is going to get smaller. Because over time, it's affected you so much that it wears other people out being around you. And here we are as Christians, called to have relationship with people. And we let unforgiveness get in the way, that it ruins potential for more connection. And when it ruins potential for more connection as a Christian, it takes away ministry opportunity. And what are you and I called to? To minister to people. And now we have ruined the very kingdom of God being near, displayed in our life, all because of unforgiveness. And you can still read your Bible, and you can still pray, and you can still have a few friends, and you can still try to operate your house. But I'm telling you that unforgiveness limits the connection that you will have with people. They've discovered it. I want you to know that, and you're not going to like to, you're going to probably, some of you aren't going to like to hear this. Some of you maybe don't like what you already heard. But this forgiveness that Jesus talks about is about completeness, thorough, entirely, and continuous. The offense, the type that it is, I know that it matters, but I want to tell you this, it doesn't matter. Pick your poison. It doesn't matter what the offense is. It could be I had neglectful parents. It could be I was abused. It could be your partner was unfaithful. It could be a rude clerk at the store. It could be a friend who betrayed you. The list goes on. You pick your poison. It doesn't matter what it is. What matters is the principle of forgiveness. Now, we might work through the rudeness of the clerk at the store because it isn't like this major essential of our life where when a friend betrays us, that becomes a real heavy heart issue. But it doesn't matter what the sin is. The principle and the training of forgiveness is the same. They've measured, for those who forgive and those who don't forgive, they've seen a significant difference in their cardiovascular, physically. They've seen a difference in the central nervous system and how people function and respond. They have seen a significant difference, and it's better for those who forgive. I will tell you one thing that they did not find in all of their studies. They did not find one benefit. Nobody benefited in any way from having unforgiveness. There were benefits to forgiveness, but they could not find one benefit from people who did not forgive. Not one benefit for unforgiveness in a person's wholeness. Nothing added to their life some benefit from unforgiveness. In a 2003 report on forgiveness, they found out for those who forgive, there was an increased compassion, optimism, self-confidence, reduced stress. They were more apt to have spiritual inclinations. For you and I, the openness to God. How close and what kind of relationship can we continue to have with Him when He has forgiven us and we won't forgive someone else? Because it goes directly against His teaching and His Word. I'm not suggesting to you that forgiveness is easy. It takes a conscious decision and it takes help of the Holy Spirit to live beyond our selfishness and to follow the Lord. I know that when something happens immediately, when it's a process, it involves time. But the decision needs to be made. And then we live out that process, and we go to the gym, and we say, hey, I increased the weight, but I can't do it as fast, and I can't do as many as I did with the lighter weight. But if we continue to exercise and train ourselves in forgiveness, we will continue to grow stronger and be more ready and be able to handle things. That now when you're, you know, carrying lumber from your truck to the shed in the back of your yard, now you don't have to just take 1 2x6 at a time. Now you're taking 4 in each arm. You get the point. The person will cut you off at the intersection, and now it doesn't bother you 2 blocks later. It's already gone. Big things come around the corner. You've trained for it. You see, if we don't train for it, when the big things come, we'll be overwhelmed. We'll be crushed under the weight of it. And we wonder why we are struggling to forgive, because we've never trained ourselves in forgiveness. So don't look back with regret. Start training. Start training. Start following what Jesus taught. Oh, you're not going to like this either. Do you know that suffering is the result of our own resistance to change? So, in light of forgiveness, we can't continue to blame someone else for our suffering on a long-term basis. We have chosen to suffer. Because we resist in our selfishness. We resist to change, to be transformed by the power of forgiving. And because we don't, we suffer. And we as humans, we will blame the person or the people or the institution or whoever on a long-term basis when we've had time to be changed and to train. We will still blame them. And the reason we suffer today is not because of them. It's because you, myself, have resisted changing. Now you can say, right, Pastor, I didn't like that. You see, you and I have to come to a point with a decision and the help of the Holy Spirit that we have to stop being a slave to our own selfish narrative. The thing that we keep thinking, the statement, the argument, the whatever we hold to, I want you to know that Forgiving involves changing, transforming. And if we resist it, we will continue with our narrative and wear it like a badge to everybody we've been telling over and over again of how much we hurt and how hard it is. And now it's not when you initially had to vent and work through a process. This has become a pattern now. It's been happening long enough that it's a pattern. And the person that you're crippling is yourself and some of the people who are closest to you. And it hinders ministry through your life. The Spirit will not flow as freely or unhindered when we are disobeying Him and continue to persist in our own narrative. What's been done to you? You'll like this part. What's been done to you doesn't define you. Now, here's the part that you won't like. Our response to what's been done to us defines us. Because that is our character, our nature and virtue, who we are. What's been done to you does not define you. Don't fall for that attack of the enemy. That what's been done to you defines you. Whatever's been done to you, it doesn't define you. How you respond to it, out of selfish narrative or out of working through the process and allowing God's narrative to take over and to forgive and work through forgiveness, that will define you because that is who you are. What's been done to you is not who you are. How you forgive or don't forgive, it will reveal and indicate a level of your accountability to the Lord. It'll reveal how accountable you are to the Master. I'm not going to obey. Oh, Lord, you understand what was done to me. Oh, you know how I feel. And these prayers, the early prayers of this, I want you to know they're okay. You're flushing stuff out. You're going through a process. But the moment you've got to come to a point of decision of forgiving, it's got to stop being, oh, Lord, poor me. Now the suffering that I'm feeling isn't self-induced. And we're blind to it. Because it's all about the past event. Rather than the issue of who the Lord is helping me become. How much of this are you going to drag into 2026? I want to give you the idea. How many of you have a remote at home? A remote. Not a remote start, but like a remote for your streaming or your TV or, you know, a remote for the radio or, you know, whatever it is. You got a remote. Okay, four of you. Thank you for responding. We have remotes at our house. And I'll be honest with you, I prefer a remote rather than getting up and doing click, click. Do you remember those days? Yeah. Click. And then do you remember when they came out the cutting edge of where they could, make your antenna move? You had a rotor on the floor, and you could turn that, and then it would turn your antenna like this a little bit, and then click, oh, better reception. Oh, that got worse. Turn the rotor. I like this. I like a remote. One technological advancement that I think is good. So I want you to think about a remote. You get to choose what you watch. I want you to consider taking a remote and changing the channel on the interior process of unforgiveness. And change the channel. Change the channel. Instead of continuing to watch the channel of grievance, tune into what's right. Tune into what's, is, you know, talks about gratitude. Tune into love, turn into beauty, or you could just turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and it will tell you what to think. It doesn't mean you ignore what happened. The acceptance of what happened is very important. And what I mean by acceptance is in this context, the acknowledgement that it has happened. Not pretending it didn't. Not making it more than it should be. It's just that it happened. As deep as it crushed and hurt, whether we contributed to the event or the big reveal or whether it was just somebody else, it's an event, it happened. I accept the fact that it happened. But I don't accept that I have to be a slave to it. That's a conscious decision that is going to have to rise above your feelings and my feelings. Your feelings will mislead you. Until we get redeemed, become more like Christ, our emotions and feelings get in line, and then feelings get in line and reinforce the right things we think based upon Scripture, the instruction of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and our submission to Him. Then our feelings start to get in line. We still have to fight through. It's still a process. It's still going to the Forgiveness Fitness Center and working out and training ourselves in forgiveness. You go to Philippians 4:8, it'll tell you what to think on, what to dwell on. So here's the question. What grudge, bitterness, offense, and unforgiveness in your past, I'm not going to limit it to 2025. In your past, the suffering and the struggle is now your responsibility that you've put on yourself. You're a pastor. You grew up in a nice home. You don't have to deal with pain or unforgiveness. You're right. I've lived in a bubble all my life. In case you don't understand that, that was 100% sarcasm. None of us are immune to being hurt. And we have some different histories than each other in this room, and those watching, or those who will listen. But all of it, you and I can choose to forgive. His blood is provided for your sin and mine. His blood has also empowered you and I to forgive others. If His blood was good enough to cover my sin, how is it that I can have the concept that His blood is not good enough to pay for other people's sins against me? When you and I are called to forgive as we have been forgiven. Yeah, but I didn't do that sin. It's not about that sin. I got news for you. You were born in sin and need His blood. I'm not suggesting to you that every sin is difficult to work through. I know that some are a little easier than others. Some of it's maybe your perception of it because of how you grew up. Maybe you've gone to the gym. Maybe you've worked out a little, but have you stalled? Have you quit the fitness, the forgiveness fitness center? Or are you going to train yourself in forgiveness? Your training will help you, and it will create a greater connection for those around you. And when you model this, there's a greater chance that they are going to learn the art, the discipline of training yourself in forgiveness. I'd like Felicia and the worship team and Alex to come. You have in your grasp the bread that represents the unleavened bread that represents Christ's body and the covenant he made in his blood, which is for the forgiveness of sin. So before we eat this bread and drink this cup, we need to recognize the body and blood of the Lord Jesus so we don't take this in an unworthy manner and sin against him. Because that opens us up to all kinds of illness, sickness, disease, trouble. That's what the passage tells us in 1 Corinthians when we take communion. And if you in this moment can't work through forgiveness towards somebody, I'm going to suggest to you that you do not eat this bread and drink of this cup this morning. But I do encourage you to take it with you, so that when you work it out, at that moment, in good faith and good conscience, you can say, Lord, I've come into agreement with you. I'm going to need your help, but I've come into agreement that I forgive whoever it is, they, them, and I'm going to live according to a person who has forgiven. I'm going to look like and act like. Yeah, but it's not really what I feel, and now I'm a hypocrite. No, your feelings get in line, and they're going to submit to your conscious choice and effort and help from the Holy Spirit to conduct yourself according to what is proper for a Christian and not improper. And then you can take communion wherever that happens for you, and good conscience and faith between you and the Lord. So I want you to bow your head, please, all over this room. And if you're here and you say, I'm not sure I have the forgiveness of the Lord over my life. If you're here and that's you, and you don't have that assurance, but you want it, because you have faith in Christ, you're asking him in, or maybe you haven't asked him into your life in a personal way, but today you recognize you need to. He loves you. Don't let your narrative of your sin stand in the way of eternal redemption through Jesus Christ, because he has made a way for all of us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.